Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And we say hello to our good friend Jared Stillman on the program, as we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock. Stilly, good morning. How are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you two?
We are awesome.
We're well. How many segments did you get out of Bill Polian yesterday?
Oh, man. I got some segments out of Bill Polian yesterday. That is the I'm not going to deny it. But let me say this. Bill Polian's opinion does carry a little bit more weight than, say, you know, most people's.
Well, I mean, you just made it like waves and waves and waves of Titan people are counter to Bill Polian thing. I thought maybe there's a little straw man there. I don't see the Titans, the massive amount of Titans fans who are counter to the idea that the top quarterback in the draft at number one should check all the boxes. How many Titans fans are telling you they're okay with him not checking all the boxes?
You must not read the YouTube chat very often.
Yeah, and we do
YouTube
have some chat doozies in
is
the YouTube chat.
A place sometimes, unfortunately, not to live. But I actually do think some of that. You know, I go on what I call those you people rants, where I rant about not you people, but, you know, you people. And I think sometimes it's more of a vocal minority than it is how the overall fan base feels. But I do think that there's a certain percentage of people in our society, and I think this Bill Polian thing is an example of this, where Bill Polian got it wrong on Lamar. So did Floyd. So did pretty much 32 teams in the league, including the Ravens that drafted a tight end in the first round before they drafted Lamar. But they hear Bill Polian say something that they don't want to hear, and instead of saying, hey, maybe Bill Polian's right about Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, it turns into, oh, Bill Polian, what's he know? He screwed up on Lamar. He sucks. And I'm just like, you people. And I think that's, again, a bigger societal issue of people that just want to hear affirmation. So Bill Polian's smart if he says what they want him to say, but if he says what they don't want him to say, then he's dumb. And I think these are the same let Rand Cook people that are the same, oh, Cam Ward's a franchise quarterback, no questions asked. I think that's my bigger issue.
I will devil's advocate it, because this is the problem with your show. There's no conversation. There's just you making declarations. Bill Polian's 82. He doesn't work for anybody. How intently do you think he's sitting down and breaking down Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders?
Well, Bill Polian does advise in an unofficial capacity some of these teams, you know, as far as their searches are concerned. And I would not surprise me if he was helping the people that he advised into those positions, i.e. Joe Shane, i.e. Chris Ballard.
Matt Eberflus, the last great recommendation he made to show you how on top of things he is currently.
I mean, but I would expect that Bill Polian probably has nothing else to do in life except watch football and talk to his football people. So, I mean, I think Bill Polian's as in tune with Cam Ward as, say, you or I would be. Is he as in tune as...
Wow, that's a real benchmark, Jared.
But he has
I know you're very into Jared Stillman, but
right,
to say that Bill Polian is... I mean, you're really underselling his authority there.
Well, but think about how much time we spent, you know, watching Cam Ward or talking about Cam Ward or researching Cam, whatever. But Bill Polian has the knowledge base beyond us to be able to apply that to what it will look like in the NFL. So I think his opinion matters.
Sure. Here's another important piece of his context, though. He's never had a number one pick facing an uncertain quarterback class. He's had a number one pick one time, and Peyton Manning was there, who checks every box by everyone's standards. I know he likes to really play up that he was tortured with the Ryan Leaf choice to make himself look great. But he's never faced a quarterback choice with a
it's
less...
It's actually not true about Manning checking everything and it being... Because I did watch the 98 draft on YouTube. I'm not proud of this, but I watched the 98 draft. Yeah.
And he hammed it up pretty good.
Joe Theismann had like the two guys comparing, you know, the breakdowns of the two, and it was like maturity, leadership, physical traits, and something else. Manning checked three of the four, did not check physical traits, although I thought Manning's arm was fine throughout the first 3/4 of his career. And Leaf checked two of the four boxes, did not check experience or maturity. Manning checked both
of those.
Well, that's
Joe Theismann's boxes. Bill Polian's box, by his very definition, he would not have taken a quarterback number one overall unless he checked all the boxes.
It was more of like a Winston Mariota than it was, say, a Luck RG3.
Okay, but he's never been in a situation like this one or like most of the quarterbacks chosen number one over the last 10, 12, 15 years, so he lacks kind of the context of being super needy at quarterback. We didn't get a chance to say, hey, if you're the Titans or the Browns or the Giants and you're quarterback desperate, what do you do right now?
That's not true. In 95, he had the number one pick and traded out of it. They had the number one pick in Carolina and
got to five
Carter,
to get Collins.
Right. So in that instance, my guess is Polian probably looked at McNair and Collins and said, I would rather have whatever the draft haul was to move out of number one. I'd rather have that than take Kajana Carter or Tony Baselli or overdraft, in his opinion at that time, McNair or Collins, move to five. And, I mean, Kerry Collins was a solid NFL starter and started a Super Bowl. And, I mean, again, I know that the Titan fans, and I think, again, this is a minority, but there's a lot in the YouTube chat of this belief that Cam Ward will be Patrick Mahomes because they want him to be Patrick Mahomes. But I think we could agree that if one of these two guys has a career of Kerry Collins, where he's a 10-year starter in the NFL, now, granted, did take the off-the-field stuff, you know, in Carolina away, but if he's a 10-year starter in the NFL and he plays in a Super Bowl and goes to Pro Bowls, like,
you'd take that, right?
I think a lot of people, I mean, I think that probably would be the best case scenario for Cam Ward.
But, and you'd take that, yes?
At number one overall?
Well, yeah, if they can't get out and they're stuck there and they can get a 10-year starter that can do what Kerry Collins did, would you take it?
If you can't get out, sure, but I'd prefer to get out. I'd let the Giants get the next Kerry Collins, and I'd get more picks.
You'd get more picks, and you'd deal with quarterback when? Next year or with the more picks?
This is like Tim Hasselbeck, you know, comparing Shedeur Sanders' upside to Andy Dalton and everybody going crazy.
Yep.
And saying, you know, like, oh, God, that's so rude. How dare he? Shedeur's so much better. First of all, if you had to tell me right now, if I had to bet my home on who's going to end up with the better career, Andy Dalton or Shedeur Sanders, I'll take Andy Dalton. But, I mean, I think that's probably the best case scenario for these guys, is that they become solid NFL quarterbacks more so than superstar quarterbacks. And if I'm drafting a guy at number one overall in my first draft, where I don't have to draft a quarterback to save my job, the way it feels like maybe Joe Shane does in New York, I personally would rather want to draft the franchise guy. I understand what you're saying, PK, because at this point in time, the Titans completely ignored quarterback and free agency. But I don't think it's fair to now say, like, okay, so what would you do now when it's like, well, I would have signed a Daniel Jones
go back
or a Sam Darnold or somebody that is worth starting, so that we're not having this, well, maybe they put Levis back out there conversation, because I think we all agree, like, Daniel Jones is a better bridge quarterback than Will Levis.
Right. So they did what they did, though. You've got them trading out in your ideal scenario. Trading out, taking who and doing what?
In my ideal scenario, I would trade to three with the Giants. I would take, you know, I'd want their second rounder this year, one of their two third rounders this year, and their second rounder next year. I don't think they're going to give you their first next year.
Yeah, that's about right.
I would trade to three, and at that point, it's kind of a who's available. You know, if Travis Hunter goes at number two, then I can't take Travis Hunter at number three. And that's the deal that I made by getting all the extra picks. But I heard you guys talking about Tyler Warren this morning. I certainly think that there are serviceable players that the Titans can get in the top 10 with a trade out and then really fill the holes of the roster, you know, with the 2 second round picks. Now I can get an edge rusher and a receiver, you know, with those two that can be long-term players that are of top 60 ilk, which means that there's a chance they're probably going to be, you would hope, a high-end starter. I think that's the best way to do this. And then wait, if you can, until the right scenario comes for quarterback, and then make your move when you feel comfortable doing it. But I feel like they've already kind of swung and missed because I don't think they have a bridge quarterback on their team, and they should have a bridge quarterback.
I think they just... in this scenario, with which I'm with you on, I think it's just a stall year. and they patchwork it, have a pretty good pick next year again, and have a much better
pool. So why not
stall
year it with Daniel Jones or stall year it with Jameis Winston or stall year it with Mac Jones?
I don't know.
Somebody that's won a little bit as opposed to Levis.
I wanted one of those guys as well. I don't know why not stall year it with those guys.
So do you feel
I have had this thought, to your point. Let's say they make a deal with the Giants, and let's use my deal as an example because I think it's a reasonable deal. Could you turn around and trade 99 or turn around and trade a fourth next year? Or would Cincinnati, for instance, have interest in dealing Jake Brown
no.
to you? Which
I just don't understand why people – why would they part with Jake Brown and leaving themselves without a good backup for Burrow, who's got a history of getting hurt, when they can go 2-2 in a month with Jake Browning? I mean, he's a pretty valuable commodity.
I would argue that they would do it because in this deal, Levis would be part of the trade. In this deal, they're getting 2 years of Levis under contractual control that's pretty cheap as kind of a developmental, for sure, sitting behind Joe Burrow type of player. Plus, they get 4 years of contractual control for a future player by getting a fourth rounder in next year's draft. So that's 6 years of contractual control, giving up 1 year of contractual control for Jay Browning, who I'm going to guess is look for more money or a better chance to play after this upcoming year.
Yeah, but
I think
you overrate the contractual control on the fourth rounder because the fourth rounder is a 50-50 guy to make the roster. And I think you overrate.
Fourth rounders make rosters.
They make them, but they also don't make them. And I think
Des Fitzpatrick is the exception, Paul, not the rule.
Yeah, but they don't all make rosters. So it's a bit of a crapshoot in who you get in that fourth round pick. And Browning this year is way better than Levis over the next 2 years in terms of what he can give you in a month when you need to win games.
So do you still think that the target for the Titans could be actually their quarterback that's participating later today, trading back and eventually ending up with Shadur, like you threw out there earlier this week?
You know, it's funny. I looked at the – I would love to see like a – I don't know, a scout – like a general manager's grades on all these quarterbacks over the years. And of course, nobody just publishes their grades that are – but NFL.com kind of, I guess, has grades on the 8 scale, and nobody gets an 8. Like Trevor Lawrence was the top quarterback over the last 5 years. He was graded at a 7-4. And according to NFL.com, Cam Ward is a 6-3-9, and Shadur is a 6-3. Now – I would say, okay, if the difference between those two isn't that much and I can pick up all those extra picks from the Giants and move to 3 and take Shadur Sanders, at least if Shadur Sanders doesn't work out or if the team stinks and there's a quarterback in next year's draft, they don't have to sit there and say like, oh, no, we took this guy number one. We invested this huge number one pick into him. Because if you miss on the third overall pick with Sanders, you still have 34, you still have the second rounder next year, you still have the other picks. But I'm not a huge Sanders fan. I do think that Shadur Sanders would sell tickets. I don't care about that.
No, they don't either, I don't think.
The way I view it is I'd like to trade to 3 and take the best player on the board. And if the best player is Travis Hunter, I'd love to do that. And now I've got Travis Hunter at one receiver and I've got Calvin Ridley at the other receiver.
Yeah, except that they're going to play him more at defensive back. The big trouble for me here at 3 in your scenario, which is also my scenario, is damn Abdul Carter's foot.
Yep.
And his background, which seems to be a little bit shaky and not being talked about. If he was fine and you were saying get to 3 and you take one of those two guys, that'd be great. I think Abdul Carter is sinking a little bit with physical concerns and maybe some background concerns. And I want you to be able to take somebody at 3 that you feel absolutely terrific about with no concerns. This guy comes in and he's not ready for OTAs because of some combination of his shoulder and his foot. And we know how that goes. You miss that first month. And then the story of his first year is, well, he never really caught up to speed and everything. And then the story of his second year is, well, his first year, he never really got up to speed. And then the whole story spins from there, from a missed damn, you know, we say it's not a big deal when it's happening, but then when his first month is bad, everybody's referring to that, to that, to that.
I feel like if this were last year, the Titans would be okay with Abdul Carter. That they would say, oh, no, you know, Drew Rosenhaus said it'll be okay, it'll be okay. And
now with the durability thing, it's different.
Yeah, well, and I just, you know, it feels to me, and, Paul, you talk to them, I think, more than I do. So
yeah, I know more than you do.
Well, I was the one that told you they weren't really wanting Callahan's opinion anymore. You and Joe went crazy about it, and then 2 weeks later, you're like, yeah, I think this is more personnel staff-driven than coach-driven. In fact, I think How would he know that? He had done
I predicted something successfully. I predicted something successfully, and it went right, and I'm a genius.
You're right, I flipped a coin. I went to the Titans facility. The next day I come back, or that day I come back and say, this is my sense of it. And you're like, how did he know that? You just assume I don't talk to anybody, Paul. That's okay.
It was a public press conference. Yeah, I did not see you go to anybody's office after that. In fact, you had to come here.
I did not come directly here.
He was delayed in his return to the studio.
Thank you.
Yep.
But I guess on the Abdul Carter front, like to me, with him not working out at the pro day, I would take him off the board because you can't use the third pick on a guy who, to your point, might be, oh, it's his shoulder. Oh, it's his foot. Oh, there's that off the field incident. And I would not take him. Somebody will. Cleveland will.
Somebody will.
Yeah. Somebody will do it. I wouldn't. And if you trade to 3 and Hunter's not there, then it puts you in, okay, well, so who is the next best player in this draft? Because all we've heard about is Ward, Sanders, Carter, and Hunter. And I do think the point I was making was I think they were very interested in Carter before the medical at the combine, and I feel like they've soured on Carter since then. And to that, I say good.
Stilly, thanks for being with us. Good stuff. We'll be listening at 2 o'clock today.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
See ya. Jared Stillman, our guest here on the program. We'll react to what Stilly had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Paul Kuharsky with us here on the program. Appreciate Jared Stillman for being with us in the last segment. One texter said, just turned on the radio. Heard PK say to Stilly, I'm with you, and I'm fairly certain I'm still asleep, and it's all a dream. Very, very cordial segment.
Well, he has not said ridiculous things to the degree that he typically does this week. So I don't know.
Stars are aligning or something.
You're taking credit as a peacemaker.
Yep.
Didn't the peacemaker that George Clooney played ultimately shoot a bunch of people?
I think so.
In the film?
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
I'm going to try to avoid doing that. I may join you in Rex Road in egging people's houses, though. Seems like a good business opportunity.
I don't know if we're hiring yet.
We can see how it goes.
The economy's not going so well.
Going on retainer.
I mean, our business is on hold for a lot of reasons, and if you check the market right now, I don't know if any venture capitalists are looking to jump on board.
We'll see.
At this time.
Maddie says, the moment when Jared and PK were both yelling, imitating PK at the same time was radio gold. It reminded me. He was imitating Stilly.
I was not imitating PK.
Yourself.
I am PK.
Yeah. You don't have to imitate yourself.
I don't self-imitate.
good stuff there from Stilly. The Abdul Carter thing, you're right. Like, I do wonder when it comes down to it, I'd be stunned if he ends up out of the top 5. But, like, if you're the Titans, how much does everything around him kind of scare you off of him right now?
I'd be curious.
Even beyond the Cam Ward discussion.
A good question came up out of that. Like, who's fifth?
Right.
Text us with who's fifth.
Yeah.
Tell us in the YouTube chat. Who's fifth to you?
Is it Mason Graham? Oh, that's a good question. Is Travis Hunter, who I think is clearly the safest pick? Like, I got a lot of confidence in Travis Hunter coming in. Whether it's defensive back, wide receiver, wherever team decides to eat, like Vrabel was out there the other day saying, yeah, we'd find some spots for he could play both if he's on our team. Like, I got pretty good confidence in Travis Hunter coming in and being a really darn good player. I don't know how many guys in this draft that I'm that confident about. Like, I would have been about Abdul Carter at the beginning, but now I'm scared to death he's going to get hurt with a stress reaction. Like, how many guys are we that confident in that are coming in and we know are going to be good players?
And look, Travis Hunter, I think, is going to be a really good NFL player. Really good. But it's hard. It's very hard not to think of right now. This is a 3-14 team. You're looking for an immediate impact guy. He comes here and he's an immediate impact guy. at corner. They said they're going to start him off at corner.
Yep.
So you're bumping either L'Jarius Sneed or Jarvis Brownlee out of the starting lineup to play Travis Hunter to start. And look, I understand people's frustration with L'Jarius Sneed, but he is absolutely one of your best 22 football players if he's healthy at the start of the season.
Yep.
And Jarvis Brownlee unquestionably is. So, look, long-term thinking and all of that, you got to think that way. It's hard for me not to think of how does your number one pick in the draft or your top three pick in the draft influence your opening day lineup. And the way he influences it is another very good player has to have a more restricted role.
I got one texter that says Tyler Warren is five. Another says Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas. A couple of votes for Ashton Jeanty at running back, who we were just talking about the break.
They're not taking a running back. I sure would hope they're not taking a running back. And not just because Tony Pollard is there, but because no matter how good the running back is, you can't take him fifth circa 2025.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Got some more thoughts to get to from PK on the Titans front.
Though somebody may be taking him sixth.
Well, I might. That seems to be where the momentum is right now. A couple more Titans thoughts to get to with PK coming up next. Also get into a little baseball with him as well. We'll have a rant coming up at 745. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063 The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pregame beginning at 5:50. First pitch at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at GameNashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit FirstHorizon.com/get it all. PK with us here on the program. We'll have Teron Davenport coming up at 8 o'clock.
That's 8 o'clock Central.
That is Central time.
For TD's knowledge, because he is in the Eastern time zone currently.
He is. So we'll check in with TD coming up here in just a few minutes. Ryan from Clarksville throwing this out there, and I understand the question because it did happen a couple of years ago, but I think you and I probably be on lockstep on this one. Says, what are the odds that the Titans pull a Texans from a couple years ago and pick at one and then trade back up for another top five or top ten pick? I don't think they have anywhere near the luxury to do that with the lack of draft capital that they've already got.
Trade back up with what?
Yeah.
I mean, that includes next year's first, and then you go through next year without a first the way you're enduring this year without a third. They're not giving up. They're not doing anything where they're giving up a lot of draft capital. They're trying to acquire more draft capital.
Right, and that's the way they should go at this point. And that's why even when, you know, we were talking about before T. Higgins signed his contract and he was tagged, a lot of people asked us about, should the Titans try to make a trade for T. Higgins? Number one, I don't think Cincinnati was ever going to do that anyway. But number two, my answer is no. Like, unless you can guarantee me an answer at quarterback moving forward, I'm not trading really anything right now that involves future draft capital if I'm the Titans. That's just not where you're at with your roster.
And if you want to talk about them going out and getting someone, a difference maker, in their thinking, they did it last year. They gave up a third for L'Jarius Sneed, which, you know, most people are not happy about.
Right.
Now, if he comes out this year and plays something close to elite cornerback, maybe the thinking on that deal will change. But right now, you know, it doesn't look good.
Mark from Ashland City says, not a believer, neither quarterback. It's not like there's a clear guy coming out next year. I understand the state of the team means this year is probably a throwaway regardless. But no matter what they do, trade back or take one of these guys, they're headed straight back to quarterback purgatory. This is from Mark from Ashland City, who's not excited about the future of the quarterback position.
I know Joe, you know, isn't fond of this wait till next year quarterback idea. There are a number of quarterbacks who could well turn into quality first-round prospects with a season of college football ahead of them.
Yes.
And I think most people expect that to happen.
No, there's a lot of guys. Drew Aller, we'll see what Lenore Sellers does at South Carolina. Everybody's going to say Arch. I don't know that Arch is going to come out after 1 year in college. I'd be surprised if he did, frankly, the way that family operates. So we'll see. But to your point, there will be guys that really develop over the course of the next year that will have first-round grades and that we're going to be talking about in the discussion for the number one overall pick next year. It's going to happen in college football. Are they better than Cam Ward? I don't know. We'll see.
I suspect there will be more than one that is looked at as better than Cam Ward and Shakur Sanders.
Yep, could be. I mean, this is a down year on the quarterback front. PK, how concerned should Braves fans be right now? We are 7 games in to an 162-game season, and they're 0-7. It's been rough. Now, they played against the Dodgers, and I told you off air that I think you should probably have your playoff races this year determined by like your record outside of the Dodgers games because of how ridiculous they are. But what's the panic level if you're a Braves fan right now?
Well, because I like seeing Braves fans panic and in pain, I think it should be high. But a 7-game losing streak in the middle of the season is not a killer, so it shouldn't be a killer at the beginning of the season either. And outside of the Dodgers, it's not like they're a bunch of undefeated teams in baseball either. So I haven't looked in on the Braves outside of knowing that they're winless and enjoying that. Braves are always good, pretty much always good. And it's hard for me to imagine that they're going to be terrible this year like they are right now. But I wouldn't mind if it lasted a little bit longer to see all you guys sweat.
I mean, the teams that they've played so far, Dodgers and Padres, are a combined 15-0.
Yeah.
Those guys off to a pretty good start there.
So not a favorable schedule. Who's terrible so far? There's somebody with one or two wins so far.
The Nationals are terrible. They're 1-5.
And they'll get their turns, obviously, against Washington.
Right.
So things have a way of evening out in baseball. That's part of why we like it the way we do. And I'm sure they'll get some torpedo bats down in Atlanta and play catch up with the team that was smart enough to have an MIT guy redistribute the fat part of the bat.
I mean, it's working out well for your Yankees. You got the short porch and the torpedo bats. They're hitting home runs all the time out there.
Yeah, and Aaron Judge hasn't touched his bat, and Aaron Judge has more RBIs than Colorado Rockies have runs.
There's another team that's not good, the Rockies. Although the rest of that division in the NL West, Dodgers are 8-0, Padres are 7-0, Giants are 5-1, and the Diamondbacks are 4-3. And then there's the Rockies.
Diamondbacks are pretty good. I've watched their first two pitchers are quite good. So the Yankees struck out a billion times in the first two games against the Diamondbacks. I'm not anxious to see a lot of them.
How are you feeling about the Yankees pitching this year?
Well, if they get 9 runs a game, it's just fine. So, I mean, they're going to have to play old school Yankees. I wasn't coming in thinking, hey, Cody Bellinger's going to hit a ton, or Volpe's going to hit a ton, or Wells is going to hit a ton, and they're not going to sustain what they're doing. But it's good to know that they can do what they're doing right now.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have a rant with PK coming up next at 8 o'clock. We'll be joined by Teron Davenport. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. We got weekend winners coming up at 8:30 as well. Rex Road has sent in his pick, so we'll get into all that throughout the rest of the show. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now
on Robbie and Rex Road.
Offer him a mint.
Yeah, I'd offer him a mint if I had one, but I don't.
Anybody got a mint?
I'm mintless. I might have some mints in my bag. Let's check.
Oh, man. At least they're in a bag, not in a pocket.
Well, you know what I have? Because I was having some stomach trouble when I was with my mom in New Jersey. They have these ginger cheese. They are in a bag. Hey, don't joke about the colostomy bag. That's why I had to go visit my mother, because my brother's bowel basically exploded.
What a beautiful conversation that was a little bit over a year ago.
Classic.
Good stuff there.
My brother, since then, has had an ankle replacement.
He's going through the ringer.
He's a damn mess. And he's already had a knee replacement. My siblings have all kinds of replacements. My sister and my other brother both have had hip replacements. My joints are all fine. far as I could tell.
Is it the ginger chews, do you think?
Best genetics in the family. Are we handing that Rob rant over to
me? We are.
To me?
The Rob rant's coming to you today.
Listen, this weather has been a big deal. But in my household, the manager of the weather chaos is Mrs. Kuharski. And she is she's big on Channel 4, WSMV, because she says they have the most up-to-date radar. Their radar is ahead of everybody else's radar. But these people over at WSMV, what they'll do is they'll say, this thing's going to be a big deal over at Ravenwood High School at 7:08 and then Sunset Elementary at 7:10 and blah, 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 blah. So, you know, we live right near Ravenwood High School. So we batten down for 7:08. We plan everything for 7:08. Usually they zoom in on the streets, you know. They don't mention Ravenwood High School again ever. Ever. Now, this one particular night, it was very bad things were happening in Hohenwald simultaneously to when things were coming to Ravenwood High School. So I understand they're paying a lot of attention to Hohenwald. I don't know it. I couldn't tell you where it is except when they show this map. A lot of detail in Hohenwald.
You never been to Hohenwald?
No, I don't think so. Maybe. It's the kind of place where I wouldn't be paying attention to where I was as I drove through it. God bless the people there. I hope their tornadic activity was not severe. But when you're telling us that something's coming, you know, 7:08, 7:09, 7:10, moment by moment, all these places that happen to be near me, and I'm sure they told you if it was coming near you, then they never mention it again or never zoom in. I mean, I think they should at least, like, then show you where that storm is going. You know, so if they move off of Ravenwood High School and they go north of it or south of it, you say, oh, well, it's not coming near Ravenwood High School anymore.
Yeah.
Or, you know, say something about the storm changing track or whatever. But what they do is they kind of bait you, like, hey, get in your closet. And then there's never any indication you should ever come out of your closet. Hey, just spend the rest of the night in your closet. We're never going to mention this storm again. We put you in there, but we're never taking you out of there. And they used to zoom in on roads and show you, hey, at this hour it's coming on Split Log Road, you know, and we go, hey, we live right off Split Log Road, better be aware. But they've stopped this hyper-focus. The hyper-focus was great.
Yeah.
They stopped hyper-focusing. I don't know what happened. They throw you a bone, hey, danger in your area, and then I guess you're just supposed to presume if they never come back to your area, the danger has disappeared. Which is fine, but I just don't really understand. They throw out a bunch of places, then you never hear about them again. They should, like, clarify, like, hey, this thing has changed angle, or it's dissipated, or whatever. They used to be a lot better. I think their game is dropping, and I understand they're there for 25 hours like your guy on the Senate floor filibustering. I think you can do better. You've gotten a lot of practice over the last couple nights. Now, if it comes again, God forbid, hopefully we've used up our thing.
I hope so.
If you're doing it again, just remember, like, you've thrown a bunch of people in their closets, you can tell them it's all right to come out.
I'm just picturing PK in, like, a bicycle helmet, just sitting in his closet waiting to come out. Do we have the clear? Is it all clear?
This is the other thing. Hey, now you mentioned the helmet. They keep mentioning, like, yeah, put a helmet on. The best kind of helmet would be a motorcycle helmet with a full facial shield. But we know I don't have one of those, and we know most of you don't have one of those. So keep advising me to wear protective gear that you know I don't have. Yeah, what would be good is to put on a full suit of armor like in the Middle Ages, but we know you don't have that, so take some pillows in the closet.
Maybe you need to go get a bike. Get you a motorcycle helmet.
I'm the least likely guy to ride a motorcycle of anybody in America.
So how long past 7:08 were you hunkered down in there?
Well, the dogs are pretty good in there. They kind of like it like it's a cave. And the boy gets situated. I'm kind of the squeeze in at the end guy.
Yeah.
I kind of linger outside and then get in at 7:08, which is when they told me to get in. by which time they've moved down the hole in wall.
Do you go outside and look up?
I do not.
There's people that, like, there's videos out there, people like walking outdoors and then just trying to see if they can find it out there, which I just think is a horrible idea, going searching for the tornado outside your house.
I mean, I think they should remind us of the unpredictability, because at 7:08, it's not even raining.
Right.
Sometimes
these times are estimates.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 7:08. Sometimes it's 7:11. You never know.
I just think, like, when it's sunny all next week, go back and review these tapes. Like you're looking at the Zapruder film.
It's film
and,
study.
And kind of evaluate how you did. Because I don't think it was very good.
But people Hohenwald were taken care of. That's good.
Yeah. And maybe I ought to drive out there and see how things are. Where is it again? I mean, southwest. I mean,
yeah, somewhere down there.
But where in the southwest?
I don't know. We need the PK to get the keys of the city.
We used to do this at my old show. We'd try to do remotes and get the keys to the city and stuff. And then there was a geographical game. They'd make up fake high school games.
Yeah.
They'd give me one real high school game and two Linnea fake Kukua. High school games. They'd make up, yeah, random high school games, and I would buy them as real. They ran out of fake high school.
Do you have the keys to the city for towns in Tennessee? Is this a thing?
I mean, we had them. They're not on my keychain.
Individually
they're not on my keychain.
It's Paul Kuharsky. Keys to the city of Hohenwald.
I think we actually got a key to, or whatever they give out in Murfreesboro. A lot of these places come up with clever things that they give instead of an actual key.
Yeah. I didn't know I was in the presence of royalty around here. Tennessee royalty.
I did get like a Kentucky Colonel certificate, which apparently they give out like bottled water.
Really?
That's in my
not necessarily
closet.
So special.
It's in my closet somewhere. I mean, if I got one, how hard could it be?
Was it in there while you were hiding from the tornado the other night?
Wycheck got one, and he made it like he was going to be arresting people. And several years later, I got one, and he was pretty put off.
The constable out there.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
Yeah,
good
I'm
stuff.
Huge in Kentucky.
This has been we got to come up with a name to call PK's rant. I don't know what it would be.
Primary complaint is what I call it.
That's good. Primary complaint here with Paul Kuharsky from PaulKuharsky.com. We'll have TD with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Continue to take your thoughts, your questions for PK on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game.